God said, amen. Praise God, for he is indeed good. And I'm so thankful that he chases down and finds me, that he's willing to leave the 99 just for me. I'm thankful that it's personal, that each relationship that God establishes with his children is personal. I'm thankful today that God is faithful, that every word that he has declared, he watches over to make sure that it is fully accomplished, to complete and do exactly what he said it would do. Giving all thanks to God the Father, to his Son Jesus Christ, who is the great head of the church, to you, his beloved people, as we gather in our time to worship him today, we have come simply to allow him to feed us from his very well, to feed us from his table, so that we are thoroughly filled and thoroughly satisfied, so that we are encouraged, and so that our souls are nourished, so that we can continue in the journey that he has given us. For if you and I have been given breath in our bodies, that means that there is yet work for us to do. That means that he yet has things that he wants us to engage in. Amen. And praise God. This morning, I would love for you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15. We are going to look at the seventh declaration that Jesus made concerning himself. In John chapter 15, we look at the seventh I am declaration. If you will recall that Jesus, in his time with his disciples, talked about many things. And the writer John, the disciple that was a follower of Jesus Christ, led by the Spirit of God, chose to write down seven specific declarations that Jesus made concerning himself. In John chapter 6, Jesus declared that he is the bread of life, which means that you and I need to eat from him regularly in order to live. He declared in John chapter 8 and in John chapter 9, Jesus said, I am the light of the world, that anyone who walks in his light will not stumble. In John 10, Jesus declared that I am the door. I am the gate for the sheep, that I am the way that you enter into and exit out into good pasture. And then in that same one, he said that I am the good shepherd. Jesus declared that he is the good shepherd, hearkening back to the very words of Psalm 23, where David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And then in John 11, Jesus declared to Mary and Martha at the death of their brother Lazarus, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will never die. Then he says, anyone who is in me and lives, even though he dies, he yet lives. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And then in John 14, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through him. And what I love about it is he's so wide that you can't go around him. He's so high that you can't go over him. If you want to get to God, you've got to go through the door. Amen. And so today we look at, in John chapter 15, the seventh I am declaration that John lifts out of his time, his conversations with Jesus. And we talk about Jesus being the true vine. As we get ready to read from John 15, I want you to be thinking about these words that Jesus has written. And I want you to think about them from the context of a lifetime guarantee. Okay, as you're reading this, I want you to think about Jesus talking to his disciples, talking to you and me, giving us a lifetime guarantee. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible today, so you follow along with me in your particular version. He says, at beginning with verse number 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. They gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father, is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Again, a lifetime guarantee. Father, as we search your scriptures, look for your truth, we know that we can only receive it as you reveal. So now, God, open our eyes to see. Open our ears to hear. Give us a heart to understand. Anoint my tongue with grace and truth that I may declare your word, your message, that, Lord, we might experience the life that you have so promised. In Jesus' name, amen. In this particular text today, Jesus uses the analogy, or as some would say, the allegory of talking about a vine. He says that he is the vine. Now, I want to remind you that when we think about the context and times in which Jesus lived in, the vine was a very important part of their particular culture system, their economic system. It meant a lot, and it also had a lot of symbolism associated with it. So when we think about the vine, we're thinking about, in Jesus' terms, probably the grapevine. It was probably one of the more prevalent vines available that he would talk about. And so Jesus would use those things that were readily available, in a sense, to give his disciples a very visual illustration of what he was talking about. And I love this, that it is timeless, in that it never ever fades away nor loses its significance. And so Jesus begins, and he makes the declaration that I am the true vine. Here's the first observation that you and I will need to make about Jesus Christ, that he is the true source of life. It's nothing new, but sometimes we forget. Because sometimes you and I, when we become desperate and looking for solutions and answers, we go somewhere else thinking that there is another source outside of him. But what Jesus is declaring is that I am the true source of life. If you want to experience life, and that is, life is knowing God, in having a knowledge that God knows you, that's really what life is. Life is knowing him and having a knowledge that he knows you, because when you know him, you know that there is nothing that comes your way that he doesn't know about. Why? Because he is the all-knowing God. There is nothing that has its beginning outside of God. Everything begins in him and everything ends in him. And when you know God and you know that God knows you, then you can have life. That means that there won't be anything that can come and disturb your peace. And if it does, it's only a momentary disturbance. Because after the tossing and after the waves and you come back to a state of equilibrium, you're back reminded that you are in the hands of him who holds everything. So Jesus says that I am the true source of life. And then he adds to that, and my Father is the vine dresser. So now, out of all the statements that John or that Jesus has talked about regarding himself, he introduces this element of his Father being tied to the vine. He says, I'm the vine. I'm the true source of life. And my Father is the vine dresser. And then he makes a little bit later another declaration, and we see it most clearly in verse number 5. But in verse number 2, he talks about every branch in him. So he says that he is the vine, and out of him there are branches that grow. And he declares that the believer, the disciple, that we are the branches. So we come forth from the vine, Jesus Christ, and then you and I become fruit producers because we are tied to the one who gives life. It's important that you and I note that the fruit that he talks about throughout this particular section of scripture is fruit that is in keeping with who Jesus is, fruit that is in keeping with the spirit that lives inside of you and me. It is fruit that helps us to look like him. So you can't just take any fruit and throw it into that particular passage and say that we're supposed to be fruitful. No, the fruit that you and I are to produce is to be fruit that looks like, that is just like the same fruit that Jesus produced, fruit from the Spirit. And so Jesus says, I'm the true vine. I'm the true source of life. My Father is the vine dressers. You, my disciples, those who are committed to following me, those who are in a committed growing relationship with me, those who have forsaken all else and decided that they will surrender themselves to me, those who have acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came down from heaven in an immaculate birth whereby the Holy Spirit came upon a virgin and Jesus Christ was born, those who believe that he went to the cross to die for their sins and that God raised him from the dead, those then are his disciples. He says, that group, you and me, are the branches in that God takes care of making sure that you and I become fruitful. Jesus in this gives what I like to think about is a lifetime guarantee. Well, he says that if you first of all make the commitment to be with him, make the commitment to be his, and then if you remain his, if you abide in him, if you stay connected to him, he guarantees that your life will not be empty, but that it will be fruitful. He guarantees that you will have a life of satisfaction. Now, understand that he doesn't guarantee a life of ease. He guarantees a life that produces fruit, that brings satisfaction, and that gives life. That's a guarantee. Now, why do I say it's a guarantee? Because here's a word that is spoken by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who does not need to say, I promise, at the end of what he says. Because every word that he utters is backed up by his faithfulness. That he does not say things that he does not mean, and he does not need to take back the things that he says because he can back them up. Jesus said of God that when he speaks truth. That he is not a man that he should lie. And because we know that God has all the resources in heaven and on earth, that there is no statement that he declares that he cannot back up or support. So when Jesus begins to declare in this passage that if you remain in me, your life will be fruitful. You will be fruitful. It's a lifetime guarantee that he is going to be with you, that he is going to stay connected to you, and he is going to produce through your life fruit that bears witness to who he is, so that the Father in heaven is glorified. Jesus is the true source, his Father, the vine dresser. So the Father then becomes the keeper of the vine. He becomes the keeper of the vineyard. That's good news for you and me, because none of this means that it is dependent upon us. The only thing that you and I are required to do is stay connected to the vine. That's all he says. Stay connected to the vine. And if you rely upon the vine, you will have adequate resources, adequate strength, adequate provision to produce fruit in keeping with who he has called you to be, who you have been transformed to be. Because when you enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, your life is not the same. You are not the same. You are transformed. The empty old way of life that one you once pursued is no longer your dominant focus. You are being transformed in the way you think, empowered to do new things in keeping with the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. As the vine dresser, God takes responsibility of being your protector. For it is the vine dresser who takes care of the vine or the vineyard. And I love what God does, and he does this through illustrations throughout the Old Testament, when he talks about, for instance, with Israel being a vine that he planted. He said it was him who built a hedge of protection around Israel, that it was him, God, who placed it in such good soil that it was able to produce, that it was him who watered it, that it was him who gave it adequate sunlight, that it was him who gave it all the provisions that were needed in order that it might have life. Brothers and sisters, that's good news for you and me. All we've got to do is stay connected to the vine, and you have the promise that God, the vine dresser, is going to give you everything that you need for life and for godliness. That means that there's not going to be any issue, any situation that comes your way that the vine dresser nor the vine won't be able to address. Jesus, the true source of life. God the Father, the vine dresser, the protector, the provider, the keeper. Jesus, the true source of life, reminding you and me that you're not to look to anything else for your source. You need to understand that they are nothing more. It is nothing more than a resource for the source to take and use to source your life. So Jesus says, I'm the source. The Father is the vine dresser. And you and I are the branches. So the fruit comes from the branches. That's where the fruit is being produced. But the branches can only produce the fruit if they are connected to the vine and receiving the life-giving nutrients from the vine. John, as he talks about what Jesus declared, said that what God will do as the vine dresser. He says in verse number 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bear more fruit. It introduces for you and me this dilemma with the idea that the vine dresser is taking away branches that don't produce fruit. But yet, for those that are producing fruit, for those who are looking like Jesus, who are doing the works of Jesus, what he does is he prunes that particular branch or those branches so that they are more fruitful. And John addresses this, or better yet, Jesus addresses this, because Jesus talks about the intent is that you and I will be fruitful. The intent is that the disciples are fruitful. He says that, yeah, that is why the Father saved you. That is why he chose you, was so that you may be fruitful. And he reminds them that apart from Jesus, you and I can do nothing of value, nothing that counts, nothing that will last, that we need to be connected to him. Now, I love this part about, let's address this real quick because we're gonna forge ahead. I love this part about it is the vine dresser who removes the vines or the branches that are not bearing fruit. Let me say that in a different way so that you and I can understand it. God does not give you and me the authority nor the ability to remove branches that we don't think are being fruitful. And it's important that you and I always leave God's work in God's hands and not try to step into an arena in which we are not qualified to operate. Just because you look at a particular branch and you feel like that branch is not doing what you think that branch ought to do, or it's not producing the fruit that you think it ought to produce, remember that you are not the one who put the branch in the vine in the first place, and you're not the keeper of the particular branch. You let the one who is the vine dresser deal with that particular branch, because he says you're looking with eyes that look through a glass dimly. You don't understand what you're looking at. You're looking at something with a faulty view, and what you need to do is let one who sees it from an aerial view, who sees it from the beginning to the end, let him take care of what belongs to him. That's why when you and I as branches, we come to support one another, to build one another up, and we come when we see a branch that may not be producing the fruit that you and I think it ought to be producing, what you and I do is we go into Kneebone Valley so that that particular branch can become all that it needs to be and stop draining life from the source, but yet producing life. And so our job becomes not that we are critical, but that we become encouragers. That's our job as branches, because that becomes one of the fruits that we are encouragers. We produce fruit, long suffering. That when we speak the truth in love, we also do it with the right attitude. That if you have one of those sharp tongues that everything that comes out of your mouth cuts those who are receiving it, remember that he has given you the spirit of self-control. And if you will allow him to transform you, you'll be just like Peter was. Peter went from cutting people's ears off till on the day of Pentecost, he stood back and he said, "Brothers and sisters, let me tell you what's going on." He didn't say, "You heathens, you scallywags." No, when the Spirit came upon Peter on the day of Pentecost, he said, "Let me tell you about what you witnessed. These men are not drunk as some of you are talking about, but what has happened is the Spirit of God has fallen upon them." Then he began to take the word of God and to inform them about what was taking place. And then he told them the truth. You need to repent and change your mind about Jesus Christ. Because your thought before was that he was not the Son of God. And as a result of that, you allowed him to go to the cross and be crucified. He said, "You crucified the very source of life." He said, "So now repent so that your sins may be forgiven." No. See, you and I, we become transformed. We can't stand in the gap talking about that's just who I am. No. God never leaves us the same way he finds us. He accepts us just as we are. But oh, what a work he does in changing us and transforming us and making us into the newness that he represents. And so I'll say it again. Leave the work of cutting off the branches that you think not fruitful. Leave that work to the vine dresser. It's almost like the wheat and the tares that Jesus said in this parable. No. Don't you go out there trying to fool with them, trying to separate them, because you may make the mistake of pulling up the wrong thing. And pulling up the tares, you may mess around and you may destroy some wheat. He said, no. I've got this under control. Ooh, that's good right there, isn't it? that God really does have it under control. Regardless of what our eyes see, regardless of what's going on, God really does have it under control. And brothers and sisters, that's good news for you and me, because if you've been watching the news, if you've been seeing the things that are involving, whether it is weather or climate related, whether it has to do with people are becoming sick and overwhelmed, or whether it has to do with the devil inflicting people and coming up on them and causing them to take other people's lives, whether it has to do with justice being perverted, what you and I know is that time is drawing near, and we need to know that God is still in control. Because if you look at what's going on right now, you can become discouraged. You can become hopeless. But if you remember that the same one that started this thing, God, is going to see it come to completion, you can be all right. You can be at rest. And then there will be in you an urgency to make sure that you are bearing good fruit through your life. Jesus says, abide in him, which means remain. The abide is an old word. I like it because it takes this idea of you've got to stay connected, and you are walking with him. You're moving with him. I love it when I think about it this way, that I'm walking again so closely with him that I'm not going to let him get out of sight. I told you before, I want to be so close on his heels that if he stops abruptly, I want to run into him. I don't want to drift away, but I want to be abiding with him, tethered to him, connected to him in such a way that I can hear him even when he whispers. I want to abide with him in such a way that I am allowing him to transform my life, so that my behavior begins to look like his behavior, so that my speech begins to sound like his speech. So that when I talk, that you will feel like you've been in the presence of the Lord. That's how I want to abide with him, such that there is an anointing upon my words, an anointing upon my ears. And I'm using the word my only because I'm talking, because what I'm trying to describe is what abiding looks like for you and me, that we should be so closely connected to him that we allow him to influence the way we think, the way we talk, and the way we behave. To abide with him. And he says, if you abide with me, then you're going to be fruitful. In this particular text, John identifies what I think are three specific areas in which he talks about you being fruitful. The first is in your prayer life. Look at verse number 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. That's praying. He says, if you are abiding with me, then you're going to bear fruit in your prayer life. That you're going to be praying like Jesus prayed. Because you're going to be led by the Spirit in your times of prayer. That you're going to be praying God's word and responding to what the Spirit says and doing only what the Spirit tells you to do. It says, and then you can ask what you will. He says, and it will be done for you. You and I both know that when you and I pray, that we've also got to pray with faith. Amen. This whole idea of asking and receiving has to do with also your faith. Jesus talks in Mark chapter 11 about the idea that you can pray, but when you pray, you gotta have faith in God. Hebrews 11 verse number 6 talks about you and I, we gotta have the kind of faith, because he says that anyone who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we're also applying the word faith to this whole concept of asking. You're asking in faith, may it be done according to what you have asked. The second place he talks about you being fruitful in your life has to do with your love.
He says in verse number 9, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so he says, you're going to be fruitful in your love. You're going to have a prayer life that transforms you, because it is impossible to sit in the presence of God. It is impossible to bake in the oven of the Holy Spirit and you not be transformed. And then he says, what you're going to do is you're going to manifest a kind of love that communicates to others that you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, that's where Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. It is the hallmark of the follower of Jesus Christ. It is love, love, love. That if you by chance, love God, if you serve people without loving God, he says you're doing nothing but making noise. He says that you may be speaking a truth, but if you don't have love, all you're doing is making noise. He's saying that everything that you say and do must be grounded in love. And Jesus gives the lifetime guarantee that if you abide in him and he in you, that you will never run deficient of his love. Because he has poured his love into your heart by his Spirit. And the Spirit is a fountain that never runs dry. Woo! Glory to God. Never, ever. You can't run out of love when you are talking about the very source of love being the one who provides you with your love. So it's a guarantee that he says that if you will abide in him, you will be fruitful in your love. That people will know and they will describe you as a loving person. You won't be that person that they describe in nice words and then they say, but. You'll be that kind of person. They'll be like, oh, that individual is just so loving. Here's what I like about it. They come back and then describe how you are loving. Because you are loving not only in your attitude and your personality. You're not loving not only in the words that you say and how you say them. You're loving in your deeds and what you do. Because you and I both know that love is more than talk. Love is actually action. Love must have some steps to support it. So he says you'll be fruitful in your love. You'll be fruitful in your prayer. You'll be fruitful in your love. Then he says in verse number 11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So solid in prayer, fruitful in your love, filled with joy. Filled with joy. That your life will overflow with joy. Your life will exude with joy. Now, you and I, it's important that we know that joy is beyond just being happy, right? Because happiness is always based upon external conditions or something that's going on. There is a thing that can make me happy. Joy speaks to the state of my being. It means that there could be some things that are going on around me that are not conditions that make me feel good. But because of the state of my being, the state of my condition, I can still have joy. I can still be in a place of rejoicing within my being, within my soul, even though my external conditions make me weep. He says that the source of your joy becomes him, your connection to him. And he reminds you that even in the weeping, you can still have joy. You can be sad, but you can remember that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's a reminder that what you're going through is not going to last forever. And as you're going through it, he is going to be with you. And so you're not overcome by the weight of the thing that you're going through. Instead, you're lifted up by the joy that he puts in you. So he says that you're going to be fruitful in your joy. That's good news for you and me, because Jesus reminds us through this discourse and through his life that we are going to have some troubles that beset us in this lifetime, that there are going to be some things that come our way that are difficult. He reminds us it from John 14. He says, "Peace I give you." He reminds us that he is with us, and that even in the trouble, that you and I will be fruitful in our joy because we have not allowed that thing to overcome us. And so he says, take heart that even when stuff comes your way, I'm still with you. I've still got your back, and I still have the last word. He says, remember that I'm still the one who causes all things to work together for the good of those who loved me and who are called according to my purposes. So he says, don't worry. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. The last thing he talks about is this. Verse number 16. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. Again, it is the guarantee that Jesus says that if you remain in him and stay connected to him, that he will fulfill his purposes in your life. Verse 16, be reminded that he chose you. And when he chose you, it wasn't based upon how good you were. When he chose you, it wasn't based upon the successes that you had already achieved. When he chose you because he loved you. And he had a place reserved for you, that he had appointed a time for you. And so he chose you. And so then, if he chose you not based upon your good works, if he chose you not based upon the things that you had accomplished prior to you coming to connect with him, I think that you could be at rest, that you can be at peace, that he's going to keep you based upon his choice of you. That's a good place where you can find rest, that you don't have to work for God's love because he has already given his love to you. You don't have to work for God's favor because he has already given his favor to you. All you've got to do is stay connected to him, abiding in Jesus Christ, and receive what he has already made available to you. And what he has guaranteed is that he will make your life a fruit-bearing life. That means that the spirit that he has placed on the inside of you will be manifest in every situation that is needed, so that you have his power that is at work in you. He's given you a source that won't run dry, so that you can have life, eternal life, in him. And it's called Jesus. And he says all you need to do is remain in him. Well, in our age of technology, Jesus used the vine to describe and talk about connectivity and fruit. In our age of technology, we've been given smartphones to help us understand the significance of connectivity. Connectivity is the strength of your signal. That if you wander outside the range of the signal that provides your smartphone with its brain, it's no longer going to be able to function. That means that if you're using your smartphone as your navigation tool, if you mess around and you become disconnected from the source, that means that you're no longer receiving directions on where to go. And that means that you may be in a place where you don't know where to turn right or where to turn left, all because you've lost connectivity. Jesus says to you and me that he is the source. If you stay connected to him, that he will let you know when to turn left and when to turn right in this life. He says that he will help you and I be able to deal with every situation that comes our way, because he will give us spiritual wisdom, spiritual insight to know how to navigate the challenges of life. He says, if you stay connected to him, that when the devil throws a curveball your way, he'll let you know when to swing so you can knock it out the park. Glory to God. He lets you and me know that if we stay connected to him, that you and I will be able to recognize the strategies of the enemy, because he already knows what the enemy is trying to do before he ever gets started. And so he says that your key to having a fruit producing life, your key to walking in the spirit, your key to living a life of peace, your key to representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, your key is to stay connected, to remain in him, to abide in him. And no matter what the situation is, that you will be fruitful. You will be fruitful in your prayer. You will be fruitful in your love. You will be fruitful in your joy. And you will be willing to sacrifice for the benefit of others. Because Jesus said this, if you're going to be like me, you've got to lay down your life for others in the same way that I laid down my life for you. And when you lay down your life for others, making others more important than yourself, what you started to do is exalt Jesus. And if you exalt Jesus, the word declares that if he will be lifted up, that he will draw all men unto himself. And when he is lifted up, the very source of life, when he is lifted up, he has a way of drawing men and women to himself and setting the captives free. He has a way of taking that which is broken and mending it back together again. He has a way of taking that which is old and making it new. He has a way of taking that which is broken and made alive. Yes, when you elevate Jesus, when you exalt Jesus, then you help others who are sick to become healed. You help others who are broken to become whole. And you help those who may have become dormant begin to grow and experience life again. All because you chose to abide in Jesus and see if he would honor his lifetime guarantee. And glory to God, I'm glad to report that he will. Amen. 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 Father, we thank you so much for the promise of your word that cleanses us, makes us clean. It purifies us, changes us. It transforms us, gives us life anew. Thank you so much, God, for your spirit who invigorates us and who fills us, who connects us to you, and gives us an uninterrupted connection so that we can hear your direction, move according to your timing, walk in your power. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes us of our sins and that offers us forgiveness. We thank you that by his blood we are forgiven. Our sins are washed away and that we have been atoned for, that our debt has been removed. We thank you. And what we simply ask, that you would help us to abide in you and to not drift away, to remain in you and to stay close, to enjoy the sweet fellowship that you offer, that our lives might be a testimony to your power.